The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
She may be on a career break after her Eras tour, but Taylor Swift still has the power to fascinate. A new book suggests that her success can be used by anybody to fuel success in business and life. I'm delighted to welcome Sinead O'Sullivan, author of Good Ideas and Power Moves, 10 Lessons for Success from Taylor Swift, to the show. Sinead, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's always a good Sunday when I can talk about Taylor Swift.
As it is for all of us. I heard you introduced on a podcast a couple of years ago, as in the top 1% of Taylor Swift fans. The back of your book says you're in the top 0.01% of Taylor Swift fans worldwide. So well done on the promotion.
I have made some serious progress since you last heard that.
So why? What brought you? And you've described in the book how you sort of, like a lot of people, were listening to Taylor Swift at different points in your life. What then made you go, actually, this would make a good book to take the success of her career and put those ideas to paper?
Well, I think like a lot of people around my age, I've grown up with Taylor Swift. I can't remember. I mean, you know, this is kind of giving away my age. But I can't remember a time in music pre-Taylor Swift. So she's kind of always been there, either in the background or the foreground, depending on which album she's released. But I think the more I saw her move through her career, it kind of coincided with my own work that I was doing around business and strategy. And I started to realize quite a while before she became, you know, really the success that she is today, that she was slowly but surely changing the entire music industry. And I just thought this was fascinating because the music industry is obviously a huge global industry. But importantly, it has been historically one of the most tightly controlled industries. And I kind of, you know, as a young woman, well, back then myself, looked at Taylor Swift and thought, oh, my God, she's really doing something that is incredible and is often misunderstood because of her age and because of her gender and because of the fact that she kind of sings songs about her diaries. So I just thought this was fascinating. And, you know, being able to see it in real time has been quite something.
Yeah, and you've sort of applied it to your own life as well. Part one of the introduction is, yes, you too can work at NASA. And I mean, you went from Armagh as a 17-year-old to getting an internship at NASA and working there, which again, into an industry that a lot of people would say, well, a woman and a woman from Ireland might not get there.
Yeah, so at the time, I mean, yes. So at the time I was working in an extremely male-dominated industry, and I was looking at Taylor's career from the outside, mostly because of the fact that I was listening to her all the time. But, you know, as I mentioned in the book, I was kind of looking for some guidance or, you know, kind of role models that were not the typical kind of male pale sale engineer that I kind of surrounded myself with. And I just saw the way that she made a lot of decisions in her career and her personal life. They just were atypical and they worked out really well for her. And that was really inspiring at the time. So I think, you know, certainly she's done incredibly well strategically from a business perspective, but then she has created these kind of lifelong lessons in her own career, in her own life, that I think are important. And interestingly, what I realized the more I mean, I've spent a lot of time looking at her life, her career, but a lot of the things that she's done have actually gone counter to the advice that we typically give. And certainly, you know, when I ended up at Harvard Business School working on strategy, I realized her strategy is actually the opposite of the advice that we give CEOs. So she has done something extraordinary and she's done it in her own way. And it's a story that is just not often told because we tend to think of doing things in a more typical way.
Mm. When you look and you've read out the book in sort of 10 power moves. And number one, because you kind of make the argument earlier on in the book that anyone can do what you want. You can chase your dreams. You can be a NASA engineer or whatever it is. And then power move one is be a unicorn. Does that not, by the very nature of being a unicorn, suggest that not everybody can do this? And it is the one in a million or one in a billion who gets to be a Taylor Swift.
There is a perceived difference between the two of them. While I think that anyone can do anything, and I truly do believe that, anything that they want, and I think one of the benefits of my career is that I've been around those people a lot. I've spent a lot of time with astronauts. I've spent a lot of time with, you know, the top CEOs of difficult and intense industries. But all of these people are just normal people. At the end of the day, they have come from places like Armagh. They have come from, you know, maybe the middle of nowhere, where you might at a young age think, that will never happen to me, and I will never be able to be that. But at the end of the day, everybody has the ability within themselves to find that one small, niche, weird thing that they are extraordinarily good at and are really passionate about. And it really is about, you know, being a unicorn and being that one in 6 billion is about finding that one thing that you really, really care about and pursuing it relentlessly. Mm. And that is what Taylor Swift did. She was not the world's best singer, songwriter. She is certainly today admits that she's not the world's best dancer. Yet she has made more revenue by singing and dancing than anyone else that has existed. So normal people do extraordinary things all the time. And it's, you know, it's worth highlighting that all of these people are just human beings like you and I at the end of the day.
One of the other power moves you talk about is being anti-fragile, which I have to admit is a word I'd never encountered before. What is being anti-fragile?
Well, this is a word that comes up often in finance and in topics and fields like biology. So, you know, we talk often about being resilient, and that's the ability to, you know, to kind of come back from a fall, you know. For example, like, you know, if you fall over, it's the ability to stand up again and move on. Being anti-fragile actually takes that step further and says, not only will you recover from a fall, but you'll actually be stronger from it. And so it's this kind of idea that we see in biology all the time that, you know, for example, at the cellular level, when you're, you know, when you get sick or when you get the vaccine, it damages your cells just enough to make them come back even stronger than before. And this is miraculously what Taylor Swift has done. So she really uses, I guess, you know, anything bad that happens, like, you know, whether it's her albums being stolen or COVID, she uses that as a propellant to actually come back stronger. So not only does she recover in her personal life or her career, but she actually uses these incidences to come back stronger. And this is something that hedge fund managers, this theory, use all the time. And it's something that, you know, can be applied in our careers and, you know, but understanding that bad things can actually make us not only resilient, but stronger is actually incredibly useful.
To get knocked down and to shake it off, if you will. Sorry.
I like what you've done there.
Yeah, but I have all these Taylor Swift puns. Which one is the best to use? And that was probably the worst. Let's be fair about it. You talk as well as something I didn't really appreciate with her, but I have seen it talked about with other artists, that there are some economic groups, including the European Central Bank, who actually track Taylor Swift and her activities as part of their modelling and forecasting. How is that done?
Oh my gosh. Well, this is, I mean, you know, during the early part of her Eras tour, you know, the world was going through massive shift in the interest rates, inflation, the cost of living, you know, all of these things were overheating the economy. And what was incredible at the time was that the data that central banks, especially the Fed, and then later the European Central Bank, when she started her European leg of her tour, couldn't really understand what was happening with the economic data. So when they were trying to figure out, should we lower interest rates? Should we increase interest rates? Should they stay the same? They couldn't get accurate readings of how well the economy was doing because so much money and so much economic activity was generated because of her tour. So she quite literally smudged the numbers for global spending because people were so excited about her tour. And so they followed her very closely. They tried to, you know, in the U.S., they tried to do state by state. Can we look at what is happening in state A, where she's not playing, versus state B, where she is playing? Now, the problem with that is, of course, that there's a lag in data. And Taylor Swift quite literally moved around these states too quickly for them to be able to do this properly. So this became this kind of, you know, I mean, we kind of joke about Taylor Swiftonomics, but like this became a real thing. Central bankers started to become very concerned. Like, how do we understand why people are spending this money and who is Taylor Swift and where is she going next and what is she doing? And of course, when she released her new album, you know, the kind of the Taylor Swift mania doubled and this became a real thorn in the side of central bankers for about a year.
It's remarkable to have that impact. You know you've made it when you are literally making The Economist talk about you. Another one in the book, engage in white psyops. Now, what is that? Is this something to do with psychology?
It kind of is, yeah. So Taylor Swift, I mean, people always talk about Taylor Swift as this great marketer. But what she actually does not do is traditional marketing. And this is one of the ways in which she is a really, really exemplary CEO. One of the hardest things to do is, of course, to get people to trust your products, because once you have customer trust, you know, you can kind of sell them anything. And this is the premise of traditional marketing. What Taylor Swift does is this kind of, you know, white psyop thing where she doesn't actually try to sell you anything. She says, take it or leave it. This is just what I am. This is just what I do. And traditionally, this is how she has, you know, for most of her career, kind of become one of the largest pop stars in the world. And instead of trying to sell you products or merchandise, she said, come and be a part of it or don't be, but it's here waiting for you. So she quite literally takes traditional marketing, turns it upside down and says, you know, there's no judgment spared here. Take it or leave it. But because of the way that she's done that, people have trusted her implicitly and they've brought with them friends and communities. And so what she does instead is kind of, you know, it's not this kind of traditional hierarchical thing where, you know, there's this kind of messaging that says, you know, buy this product or else you'll be the loser of your group. She actually has this like really, really radical way of saying, actually, take it or leave it. I'm just one of you and you can come hang out with me if you want or not. And people have really radically reacted to that and, you know, kind of joined her in what I think most people will agree is a cult-like fashion.
Yeah, and like convincing a lot of her followers, you know, that she is sort of this normal person, I suppose, while she's flying around on private jets. I know you talk about that in the book
mean,
as well.
It is insane. Think about how clever she is, that her USP, her kind of unique selling point, is that she is the girl next door. I mean, the girl next door who has never gone to university, yet all of her music, you know, if you're my age, is what got you through your university years and didn't finish high school, yet sings about high school romances. She has never had a normal life, yet we think of her as the most normal person that we know.
Yeah, it's so a remarkable way to do it. Very finally, Shane, before we have to go, did you send her a copy of the book?
Yes, I did, actually. I did, and her team have several copies, in fact.
And has she got back to you yet? Or what, do we know what she thinks of it?
Not yet. I think she's probably been too busy on tour and getting engaged and putting out 10 albums and movies and God knows what. But no, her team were very thankful for it. And she's been very, very good to anybody who has actually written about her in this kind of more economic and finance way. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm sure that the glowing review is incoming. Sinead O'Sullivan, author of Good Ideas and Power Moves, 10 Lessons for Success from Taylor Swift. It's a great read. Highly recommend it. Thanks for joining us on The Anton Savage Show.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.